is familiar to you, or you, that belongs to someone who is familiar to you, at least. But it's dangerous. This is dangerous work. Ruth was a young woman and a stranger,
nice
and
looking.
Very pretty. Very, very, very pretty woman. And she was in danger. We're going to see that in various places throughout this second chapter. So Boaz says, have you not heard that proverb that you should not glean in a stranger's field? On this account, you need to remain here with my maidens. Don't go off and glean anyplace else. You stay right here. You're in a good place. I'm going to take care of you. You stay right here. Stay with my maidens. Don't go wandering off in some other field. Okay? So that adds something to it here. Verse 9 says, I'm going to read that from the Peshitta also. Let your eyes look where they reap and go after them. Behold, I have commanded my young men that no man should bother you. And when you are thirsty, go and drink from the water that the young men draw. Well, now he's really getting generous now. First of all, he hadn't yet commanded his young men that no man should bother you, but he was about to. He speaks that which is not as though those things that were not as though that they were. He knew he was going to. He hadn't yet, but he will just a few verses later. He's going to command them not to mess with him. But he knows he's going to, so he speaks in the past tense. He's speaking things that are not as though they were. I have commanded my young men that no man should bother you. And when you're thirsty, go and drink the water that they draw. And the Hebrew, my translation of the Hebrew is this way. Let your eyes be in the field where they reap. There shall you go after them. I will straitly command the young men not to molest you. And when you are thirsty, then shall you go into the vessels and drink from that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell upon her face and bowed herself unto the ground. And she said unto him, why have I found favor in your eyes to acknowledge me, seeing I am a stranger? And the Peshitta says, and she fell upon her face to the ground and did him reverence. And she said, is it because I am a guest that I have found pity in your eyes to acknowledge me? And Boaz said to her, it has fully been told me all that you have done unto your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and mother in the land of thy nativity and are come unto a people which you knew not heretofore. So Boaz had already got the word about Ruth, what she had done and the decision that she had made. And this is only a couple days after they arrived in the city. The first day of the day after the Passover is always a Sabbath. Mm-hmm. It says they arrived on the eve. We talked about that last time. They arrived on the eve of the Passover. The day after the Passover is always a Sabbath. You can't work on that Sabbath. It doesn't matter whether it's Saturday, Sunday, Friday, Thursday. Doesn't matter what day it is. It's a Sabbath. You can't work on that day. And if it happens to be a Friday, then you got two Sabbaths back to back. And that's exactly what happened when Jesus was crucified. Jesus was crucified on a Thursday. The next day was a Sabbath, even though it was Friday. And then the next day was another Sabbath because it was Saturday. That's why the women had to get down there early, and that's why they couldn't get down there earlier to anoint his body, because they had two back-to-back Sabbaths. That's why they were there as early as they could possibly be there on Sunday morning, because it was the first opportunity they had to get to his body. There were two back-to-back Sabbaths. And he couldn't have been crucified on Friday. We've talked about that in our classes, because that would not fulfill the prophecy. He would not have been dead long enough. He would not have been dead long enough to fulfill his own prophecy of 3 days and nights in the belly of the earth. Could not have done it. So there's no way he was crucified on Friday. No way. No way was he crucified on Friday. No way. Okay. So she fell upon her face to the ground and did him reverence, and then he said to her, "It has been fully recounted to me that which you have done with your mother-in-law after the death of your husband, how you forsook your father and your mother and your family, and have come to a people that you knew not heretofore." So it didn't take long for the word to get out through the whole town, through the whole community, about what Ruth was all about. This was a remarkable thing. And it was a marvelous thing that she had done, and everybody was talking about it. Her fame was beginning to circulate throughout the whole country. All right, praise the Lord. So,
you know, Brother Hardin, we can understand why that was a great sacrifice she had.
That's right.
She had given up her life.
That's right.
To a new life.
That is correct. She had made a decision for the Lord.
Amen.
And the word was getting out. And she's already beginning to reap the benefits.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. You know, I love accurate history. I bet. This is a blessing. Okay, I started chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I will find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers.
Hold up, mm-hmm. Bro, I got one question I want to ask.
Yeah.
Why did they leave Bethlehem and he had a rich relative there? Why did they leave?
In the first place?
When Naomi's husband was alive.
Yeah.
Why did they leave and they had a rich cousin there, you know? Why did they leave when they had the famine? Yeah. They left to go into Moab.
Mm-hmm.
They left Bethlehem. Why did they leave and they had a rich relative there?
They were wealthy too. But
huh?
Their family got it.
Well, the problem was that their wealth was property for the most part.
Famine.
That's mm-hmm. right, and there was a famine. The famine was strong in the land, and their property wasn't producing diddly.
So nobody
was doing any good. You know, if you got land, it doesn't matter how much land you got if it's not producing anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to, you know, but Boaz and his people did not leave. They
yeah.
stayed put.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
yeah.
true. They stayed put, and they toughed it out.
Yeah.
Elimelech run off.
Yeah.
And the rabbi said, well, you know, that the reason he died in that foreign land is because he forsook the land of his fathers and ran off when times got rough, so he died. And then the reason that his sons died is because they married strange women. That was their take on all of that.
All right.
Be that as it may.
But Ruth had a heart of faith, and that changes
That's right.
everything.
That's right, exactly. Praise the Lord.
And she came back.
I like it when you said when she became Ruth. Mm-hmm. Ruth wasn't always Ruth down there.
No, not to start with. That's
when
right.
She made that decision. And
that's
that
right.
Confession.
That's right.
And that's when she really became.
She went from being a strange woman to a woman of faith.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it was noticeable.
That's right.
And boy, I've noticed
everything.
It. Mm-hmm. And now she's reaping. And it looks like she's reaping to help Naomi, to take care of Naomi.
That was her bottom line.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
Taking care of her mother-in-law.
Uh-huh. Chesed.
Yeah.
Chesed. Chesed was the key.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her help, well, let me go back to verse 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter.
Don't skip over that.
Yeah.
Find favor. She went out to find favor.
And found it. Because we read on down, she did find it.
Yeah.
When you're in faith, a lot of doors open up. When you're walking by faith, in faith, many doors will open up.
Yeah, and that's what she was telling Naomi. Let me go where your rich cousin is. Don't send me no way up to glean. Let me go where Boaz, because it was another cousin that could have.
Are they brothers or cousins?
Well, we don't know. There's no scripture for that. We don't know that. But first of all, she says, let me go and I'll just, you know, wherever I happen to find a place, you know, that somebody will let me glean. So mm-hmm. she didn't know where she, it says her app was, she didn't know anything about anybody.
Mm-hmm. She didn't.
But it was the Lord who directed her, mm-hmm. unbeknownst to her, the Lord was directing where she went and she just happened to light upon mm-hmm. Boaz's field.
Yeah, that word.
Spoke her course. I shall find favor where I go.
In wherever,
that place. Yeah, she put favor at the word. I want to find favor.
That's right. That's
wherever
right.
Wherever she could have said, "Well, I don't know. I can go out here. I may not, you know, find that." But she said, "No, I want to find favor."
Yeah.
So that's very important to us that we speak our course. Where we. You know, want to go.
And there is a possibility, like you said, she talked to Naomi. I've always just thought she just went. God directs her path. But like you said, she could have talked to Naomi and told her a gentle area to go to where she thought.
Well, it's not in the scripture.
It's not in the scripture.
That word, hap, is that?
The hap, that's right. It is. It means by perchance.
Yeah,
okay.
She happened to. Yep. She didn't go there on purpose. Uh-huh. She just happened to wind up there. But of course, we know why she happened to wind up there uh-huh. because the Lord led her there, and she didn't realize it. But the Lord, you know, knew her. You know, the Scripture says it's not in man that walketh to direct his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Mm-hmm. So what you have to do is decide where you want to go, mm-hmm. and trust the Lord to get you there,
Amen.
To take you there.
Yep.
You have to set the strategy. I want to go. I want to serve the Lord, and I want to go to heaven.
Uh-huh.
But then the Lord, the tactics are the Lord's.
Yeah.
Your steps uh-huh. are the Lord's.
Yeah.
Amen.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, because it's not in you to order your steps.
Right.
You've got to make up your mind where you want to get to.
Uh-huh.
But the Lord directs your steps there.
That's right.
That's what he did.
And that's exactly what he did here. Mm-hmm.
Probably the Lord puts it in you, the direction to choose the direction.
He does. Yeah. He puts that in your heart. Yes.
He set before you good and evil, but you choose.
That's right. You choose. That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
And he tells you what to choose. He said, choose good.
Choose life. Yes.
Choose life.
He'll open the best doors, close the worst.
That's right. That is true. I pray that all the time.
Uh-huh. And I
close the bad doors.
Yeah. Close those doors. Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh. And I can see that he was helping her even down in Moab. Don't nobody leave all that like that, you know. Here's Ruth leaving everything. Her mom,
Yeah,
that's right.
Where she grew up at. Mm-hmm. And
that is correct.
You're going into a strange land.
Yeah.
I think God helped her with that.
Yeah.
Plus, God directed her to marry into that family.
Yeah.
That's true. Further.
That is true.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
The Lord was already looking ahead.
He always
was.
Does.
He knows what
they're
doing for me.
That's true.
He was.
That's the kind of stuff I learned as I obey God. Every act of obedience.
Every little thing.
Yeah. One door opens the door for you to learn what you need for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're faithful with what he give you to do, then he'll train you for the next door that he's going to open. And he'll help you walk in, and you'll be walking. You still take faith. You got to walk in that door. And then, just like Pastor said at the first of the year, the Lord's going to open several doors, but you got to choose which one you're going to go
That's
in.
True.
And then when you go in one, then he'll train you and prepare you for the next thing.
Amen. She's just a remarkable woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, for somebody to even get into that land and say, hey, I want to find favor.
Yeah.
I mean,
she was a fierce woman.
Yeah.
We use that.
There you go.
Fierce.
Proverbs 31.
And
you
said
right.
she represents the church.
There you
That's
go.
Right.
There
exactly
you
right. The church has to be fierce.
Yeah. Because
yeah. Yeah.
The
need violence is
so good.
Yeah.
The church is fierce.
Yeah.
Amen.
We need to be.
Yeah. Because the violent take it by force.
That's right.
We're not asking for the kingdom. We're going to take it.
Amen.
We take it by force. We speak the word of God in faith, and sincerity attracts sincerity. Everybody that wants what's right, even if they're cussing and acting a fool right now, sometimes people want what's right. And when you present them with the truth of God's word, they'll leave that world, and they'll never go back.
Yes.
Oh, we're about out of time.
Praise the Lord.
Dear Lord, I thank you for your word, all these treasures you've given
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
And I thank you for all the men and women, the comments that you've given, the way you help us understand it. Lord, I pray that you'll multiply our understanding in you. In
Glory
Jesus.
To God.
Mighty
Glory
name.
To God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.